Welcome back, everyone. Today, we're diving into a story that you might think you know, but trust me, we're going deeper. We're talking John Brown.
John Brown, the Harper's Ferry guy.
That's the one. But, and this is important, there's a lot more to him than just that one event.
Oh, absolutely. So much more to unpack. To understand John Brown, you really need to see him through the lens of his time, you know?
Okay, so for those listening who might not remember all the details, let's set the scene. October 16th, 1859, Harper's Ferry, Virginia. What went down?
Okay, so picture this. Small town, pretty quiet, right? Then, bam. John Brown and his crew roll in.
How big was his crew, exactly?
19 men, 14 white, 5 black, and they're armed, headed straight for the federal arsenal.
Whoa, hold on. The federal arsenal? That's a pretty bold move.
No kidding. Their goal was to arm enslaved people and, well, basically start an uprising. They took hostages, held the town for like 30 hours. Crazy, huh?
Chaos, for sure. Any fighting.
Oh, yeah. They put up a good fight, actually, but ultimately they were no match for the U.S. troops.
And those troops were led by?
Colonel Robert E. Lee.
Yeah, that Robert E. Lee. Wow. So capture, trial, execution, that's the John Brown most people remember, but you're saying there's more to it.
Way more. See, it's easy to focus on the violence, the raid, the whole dramatic end, but...
But
we got to remember the why. Why did John Brown do this? It all comes back to the horror of slavery, the brutality that was just accepted.
This idea of retributive justice. That's got to be part of it, right?
Exactly. It's this idea that when a wrong is so deeply ingrained, so awful, people are going to rise up to challenge it, even if it means resorting to violence.
Hmm. Like Sherman's March to the Sea. That was pretty brutal.
Exactly. And for John Brown, slavery was that kind of wrong. He felt words weren't enough. Action was needed.
Okay, so we've got this picture of John Brown as this radical, violent revolutionary. But I'm getting the sense there's another side to him.
You got it. I mean, the guy was a successful wool dealer, a good neighbor, a family man, loved kids, animals, the whole nine yards.
It's hard to reconcile those two images, right?
Totally. It's almost ironic that this seemingly ordinary dude was driven to such extremes. To understand that shift, we got to look at the stuff that shaped his worldview.
So, Kansas, didn't he spend some time out there before Harper's Ferry?
Yep, about 5 years before. And Kansas, at that time, was basically a war zone, pro-slavery versus anti-slavery. Violent, messy.
And Brown.
Oh, he was right in the thick of it. And get this, he actually won some pretty impressive battles against pro-slavery militias.
No way. So he wasn't just talk, huh?
Not at all. He was a skilled fighter, a leader. It almost makes you wonder if he saw Kansas as like a training ground for Harper's Ferry.
That's fascinating. But this warrior spirit, this passion against slavery, did it just come out of nowhere?
Not quite. There's a story, a really powerful one, about John Brown as a kid. He saw this enslaved boy being brutally beaten, and it stuck with her. That experience fueled his lifelong hatred of slavery.
So this wasn't some abstract political issue for him, huh?
Nope, this was personal, deeply personal. He was fighting against a system that had caused real, tangible pain. And to really dig into that fight, we've got to talk about Frederick Douglass.
Ah, yes, Frederick Douglass, the abolitionist, the writer, the formerly enslaved man who had some interesting encounters with John Brown.
Right, and their first meeting is super interesting. It happened about 12 years before Harper's Ferry at Brown's house. Simple meal, simple setting, but Douglass said the air was thick with Brown's conviction.
Sounds like Brown was the real deal.
Oh, for sure. And their conversations, well, that's where Brown started revealing his plans, the plans that would eventually lead to Harper's Ferry.
So Brown's got these plans swirling in his head, and he's sharing them with Douglass. But here's the thing. Both men wanted to end slavery, right? But they had totally different ideas about how to do it.
Huge difference. Douglass was all about the power of words, persuasion. He'd escape slavery, become this incredible speaker, writer. He knew how words could change minds.
But Brown was more of a action speak louder than words kind of guy, right?
100%. See, Brown's initial idea, it was about creating a refuge, a stronghold in the Appalachian Mountains.
Like a safe haven for escaped slaves.
Exactly. And not just a hiding place, but a training ground. He wanted to arm them, teach them how to fight back, guerrilla warfare, basically.
Wow, he was really thinking big picture, huh?
Oh, yeah. This wasn't some spur-of-the-moment thing. He'd been studying maps, gathering supplies for years, even drafted a constitution for this free community.
Whoa, that's dedication. But, what did Douglass think about all of this? I mean, mountains, hiding out, fighting.
Douglass was skeptical, to say the least. He admired Brown's passion, but he saw those mountains as a trap, not a fortress.
Makes sense. Outnumbered, outgunned.
Right. He even tried to get Douglass to join him. Can you imagine?
A clash of titans. So how did their friendship survive all this disagreement?
I think their shared goal, ending slavery, it kept them connected. But yeah, that tension, it really came to a head just 2 weeks before Harper's Ferry, they met again.
Wait, hold on. A secret meeting 2 weeks before the raid. This is getting good. Tell me more.
Okay, so picture this. Abandoned stone quarry near Chambersburg, Pennsylvania. Super clandestine. Brown brings his secretary and this young fugitive slave named Shields Green.
Shields Green. I don't think I've heard that name before.
He's a fascinating character, definitely worth looking into. But back to the meeting, Brown's got a new plan, forget the mountains. He's going after the federal arsenal at Hopper's Ferry.
Whoa, that's a huge shift from defense to offense. Why the change?
Well, the goal is still the same. Arm the enslaved people, trigger a massive rebellion across the South. He just figured a direct attack would be more effective.
And Douglas.
Totally against it. He's like, dude, this is suicide. You're going to get everyone killed. He saw it as an act of war, and he was right.
It's amazing how their different life experiences shape their perspectives, right? Douglas, having lived through the horrors of slavery, maybe he was more cautious, more realistic.
Yeah, good point. And Brown, I think he was just driven by this burning urgency. But in the midst of all this, we've got Shields Green. His story is incredible.
Okay, so who was this Shields Green?
He'd escaped slavery, found refuge with Douglas in Rochester, New York. Freedom, finally. But when Brown asks him to join this crazy raid,
He said yes.
no hesitation. This guy could have stayed safe, enjoyed his freedom. But his loyalty to Brown, to the cause, unshakable. He even said, I believe I'll go with the old man.
Wow, that's powerful. Talk about putting your life on the line for what you believe in.
Exactly. And it shows you John Brown's mission, it wasn't just some white savior thing. This was black and white people together fighting for freedom.
It's so easy to judge historical figures from where we sit today, you know. But we got to remember the context, the brutality of slavery, the limit of options.
Absolutely. And even though Brown's actions were extreme, tragic even, his commitment to justice that can't be ignored, he helped push this country towards a reckoning that led to the Civil War.
So yeah, the raid failed, but his actions had this ripple effect, changed the course of history.
100%. Some historians even argue that the raid itself was like a catalyst, speeding up the tensions between the North and South. His willingness to sacrifice, his defiance, it made people wake up to the injustice of slavery.
You know, it's amazing how John Brown, even though the raid failed, he really exposed the cracks in the whole pro-slavery system.
It's true. I mean, the South was terrified after Harper's Ferry. It showed just how unstable things really were.
And what's really interesting is that even during his trial, even facing execution, John Brown never backed down. He was defiant.
Oh, absolutely. He didn't waver. He truly believed he was doing the right thing. And in a way, his execution, it just made his message stronger.
It's like they thought they were silencing him, but it backfired, didn't it?
Totally. It actually gave the abolitionist movement more fuel. Talk about unintended consequences.
Do you think Brown knew that would happen? That his death would become this rallying cry?
That's a tough one. Hard to say for sure. But his willingness to die for his beliefs, it speaks volumes.
Yeah, I mean, he really put it all on the line.
And, you know, it's possible that the raid, even though it didn't achieve its immediate goal, it might have actually put the nation closer to the Civil War.
So the big question, was John Brown a failure, or did his actions, even though they were extreme, did they help bring about the end of slavery?
It's a complicated question. On the surface, yeah, the raid was a failure. He didn't escape, he didn't free a ton of people, and he was executed. But his impact went way beyond that.
Like that butterfly effect thing. One small action can have huge consequences.
Exactly. John Brown's actions were like a lightning bolt. They forced the country to confront the issue of slavery head on.
And even some of the people who criticized him at first, they started to see him differently, right?
Oh, yeah. After his death, he became this martyr. People started singing songs about him. His picture was everywhere. His legacy became bigger than he ever was.
It's wild how his story still resonates today. And what about those guys who initially condemned Brown? Henry A. Wise, James M. Mason.
You're talking about the guys who thought they were putting Brown in his place? Well, guess what? Their careers basically imploded after the raid. It's almost like poetic justice, you know?
It's true. Sometimes the people in power, they underestimate the power of ideas, of conviction. John Brown's story is proof of that.
He reminds us that one person willing to fight for what they believe in can change the world, even if it means making the ultimate sacrifice.
Absolutely. So there you have it, folks. John Brown, complicated, controversial, but undeniably courageous. His story pushes us to think about justice, sacrifice, what a legacy we want to leave behind. That's it for our deep dive into John Brown. We hope you learned something new, maybe even challenged your own perspectives. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, keep diving deep.